KZZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Without saying why, President Trump has given his official pardon to reality TV stars and convicted swindlers Todd and Julie Crisley. Here's their daughter, Savannah.
I was walking into the grocery store when I got the call from the president. And I was just in such shock and in such awe that the president himself called me and took the time to let me know that my family was coming back together. And for that, I will forever be grateful.
Trump is also looking to pardon the 9 criminals of trying to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Los Angeles, the mother of a 4-year-old girl receiving life-saving medical care, says she's been told to self-deport by the Trump administration. She's worried her daughter might die in Mexico, which doesn't have the medical facilities that her daughter needs to stay alive. 4 people have died in a mad crush to get food at a United Nations distribution warehouse in Gaza. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has established a new committee that will be responsible for reviewing and setting new state report card standards. State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley has recently faced criticism from some Republican and Democratic lawmakers over the post-pandemic testing standards, which they feel are too low. The committee will include over 24 members from education backgrounds and will begin meeting next month. The identities of the members chosen for the committee have not yet been released. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding anglers how they can help prevent the spread of aquatic invasive species and diseases during fishing season. A number of the state's waterways have seen the introduction of invasive species like zebra mussels and spiny water fleas over recent years. DNR officials are reminding anglers to drain all the water from their bait buckets or fish containers at the site where they filled them, drain and clean their boats, and remove things like mud or plants from their gear before leaving. Officials are reminding area youth to register for the upcoming Barron Polk County Tractor Safety Certification Program. The program will be held from June 16th to 19th at Barron High School and seeks to teach Wisconsin kids between 12 and 16 years old how to safely operate a tractor on public roads, identify hazardous situations, and reduce the risk of injury. Attendees will receive hands-on training opportunities through the program and must participate in 24 hours of instructional training before passing a written and practical driving test. After just a week of operation, a new Safe Bay location at Vineyard Church in Duluth has been temporarily shut down. The Safe Bay location is being run by the nonprofit CHUM and was meant to give unhoused individuals a safe place to sleep in their vehicles overnight. A permit for the site was previously approved by the City Planning Commission, but officials now say some nearby residents have filed an appeal to the approval of that permit. The City Council will now need to review the permit and uphold it before the site can begin operating again. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers complete the sweep. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, another dramatic win for the crew. Last night it was Christian Yelich and a walk-off grand slam home run in extra innings. Today, Caleb Durbin with a sack fly to center field that drove in Sal Frelick in the bottom of the 10th. The final, the Brewers beating the Red Sox 6-5 at AmFam Field, completing a 3-game sweep of Boston. The team has tomorrow off before heading to Philadelphia for a weekend series against a tough team, the Phillies. Here in Green Bay, Packers OTAs continue on the offensive line with Elgton Jenkins holding out for a new deal. Right guard Sean Ryan moved over to center.
I think we're confident in him. He's been training like this for a couple years now. So one of the benefits I would say that we do in regards to how we practice by splitting the fields up, you're going to get more reps in less amount of time. I mean, there's a lot of tape to watch.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. In Green Bay with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated showers this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy tonight, and a low in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, partly sunny, maybe a pop-up storm and highs in the mid-70s. Heating up into the 80s for Friday and this weekend. Lots of sunshine and it stays dry. Currently at 64 degrees.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend.
And then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome back comedian singer Rob Paravonian and Milwaukee-based actor Rob Martin, and I talk about our favorite movie gangsters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who does his own stunts, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Great to have you with me. We got a great show tonight. We're going to talk about, I got one word that's going to describe probably the first half hour of this show. And it is a topic we need to talk more about. It is an American pastime. It is one of our favorite foods. I'm talking about, of course, the hamburger.
You can't get better than that.
It is national, Conrad, National Hamburger Day. This is not regional. This is not just something we're practicing here on Washington Street in downtown Green Bay. This is all over. People are celebrating the hamburger today. We're going to talk about hamburgers, and we have a hamburger-related question of the night, which is coming up. Lots of stuff going on. We can take this off my list. We've got, I did not time my gelato very well. I got here, a few minutes early, because we had a lot of recording to do, and I thought I'd have a nice half hour to enjoy my gelato. So would it be weird, like, could we push the show just about 20 minutes and let me finish my gelato? Is that an option?
I don't think that's an option.
All right. So last night we had some technical issues. I don't want to dwell on them, but I could have wolfed down gelato and people would not have been as likely to hear me slurping.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Really fun show. Great that you guys are here tonight. Our pal Matt Miller is going to be here at 6:35 to talk about last weekend's mammoth box office take. The movies are back. It appears at least Hollywood, for the time being, is back. I know there's production issues going on in the state of California, which affects all of us. But for now, we appear to be coming out of that that pandemic slump when people weren't going to theaters and production was halted. It feels like, and it seems like, everything is catching up finally. And people are going to movies again. The really big, great, well-done movies are finally hitting the theaters. Not that there haven't been a few in the last few years, but this last weekend, so far from last weekend, we are up 30% from where we were last year at this point in May, Memorial Day weekend. And Lilo and Stitch and Mission Impossible 8, The Final Reckoning, crushed records for a four-day weekend, a two-film combined take. They beat Barbenheimer. They beat the biggest take at the box office for all the movies combined was $314 million in 2013. There was like a Star Trek and Fast and Furious and one other movie. Hangover 3, I think. And this past weekend, they took in like $342 million. And they're setting records, too, overseas as well. So very exciting. It's good that movies are back. People are going back to movies. I just love it. We're going to talk about all of that with Matt Miller. He is a Milwaukee-based film critic, and he writes a column at A Man About Film. You can follow him there. Matt is always fun to talk to. We're also going to break down Mission Impossible and what we thought. And Matt saw, I think he saw The Accountant 2, and he saw another one I didn't see. Oh, Final Destination Bloodlines, which has gotten really good reviews. It's still in theaters. It came in third place last weekend at the box office. So Matt saw that film. We'll talk about all this with Matt. He's always fun to talk to. And then this is a really cool thing, too. In hour number two at 7:20, Dennis Graham is going to be here. He is the founder and producer of Rockonson. This is a garage band contest for kids ages like 7th grade to 12th grade. There are 10 finalists that are going to perform at Summerfest, and we're going to talk about it with Dennis. We're going to find out more about the competition. It just sounds like so much fun. We talked to him briefly on Bar Band Friday night about a month ago. Terry Barr brought him on for a few minutes. But tonight we get a little more time with Dennis, and we'll find out about his operation and everything that is cooking at Rockonson. Great name, too. How do you like that name, Conrad?
I absolutely love it.
I couldn't do better. What do you call it? Music Wisconsin?
Melodies of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin lyrics. None of it works. Rockonson, he crushed it. And it just works out, you know? So that's great. So Dennis will be here at 7:20. Matt at 6:35. By the way, Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, they showed a quick close-up. I think I mentioned last night there's like a 30-minute recap in the movie. It's told in a narrative. It's not just highlights of other movies or like last week on such and such. It's done through the narrative, and it's really well done. But I will say, if I found a flaw in the movie, it was just that I couldn't wait for the actual part eight to get going. And once it does, it's great. And even the lead up is great, especially if you haven't seen the other Mission Impossibles. But there is a quick flash of Ethan Hunt and his history, and his driver's license appears on screen and says, Ethan Hunt, Madison, Wisconsin.
How about that?
I got way, way more excited about that than I should have. Like, everybody's from somewhere.
Yeah.
It's a fictional character, but it was still cool to see Madison, Wisconsin on there. So that was just a fun thing to see during the film. And when are you going to see it, Conrad? You really have no excuses.
I'm definitely going this weekend, I'd say, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good to know. We also have to read a text. I'm going to try to find this from Eliza. She was a guest on the show last Thursday, and she sent us in this nice text. And last night we were so packed and playing catch up, I wasn't able to read it on the air because it's kind of a longer text. Where is that? Is that in the chat, the Nightlight chat?
Yeah, I can send it to you.
Please do. Eliza was a fun guest and a great member, new addition to the team here in the Northeastern Wisconsin chapter of Civic Media. So here's that text. She says, hey, Pete, it's your new Australian bestie, Eliza, calling in from Green Bay. I want to change my answer that I've told you. Wait, what was her answer? What was the question?
It was a pre-recorded show. I think it was about musicals, maybe, or not musicals, films produced or made in Australia.
Yes, perfect. Okay. She said, of course, looking for a LeBrandy is a classic. Any Australian born up after 1980 will know it and love it. But there's something that your listeners need to know about, and that is an Aussie series on Amazon Video called Deadlock. And it is this kind of half tongue-in-cheek murder mystery set in this tiny town at the bottom of Australia in rural Tasmania. Oh, I love that. And if you've seen Top of the Lake, If you've seen Top of the Lake set in New Zealand, it's kind of making fun of that and the whole kind of Scandinavian small town mystery genre. I love this. And I think it's one of the best series ever made. They just wrapped filming season two, so you can watch this and love it and know that there's more coming, which we know is a good feeling. Thanks to you both. She's thanking you, Conrad. Did we thank her? I think we did.
Thank you, Eliza, for texting in. It said a voice note, so...
Is that what it was? Because I didn't know where
it was on the voicemail.
So what is this show called? Deadlock. I'm going to have to check that out. I didn't know that other show she was talking about either. There is another show with Thomas Jane set in Australia. It's a murder mystery. And I'll have to find out the name of that, too, and ask Eliza if she's seen that. But this sounds like a pretty cool show. I love the title, too, Deadlock. Thank you, Eliza, again. All right. I think we need to get to our question of the night. What do you think, Conrad?
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, in honor of National Hamburger Day, not regional, what are your favorite burger toppings? What are you putting on your burgers, folks? We got a whole summer of burger eating ahead of us. I go burgers over brats. I can have like one brat and then I'm like, okay, it was good. I like the brat. I don't have to have multiple brats over the summer. So I tend to go burger.
I like burgers more too because you can get more protein out of the burger.
Is that true?
Well, it depends what kind of beef you use. Because if you use like, I use like 93.7.
Oh, that's the sirloin.
Yeah, that's the good stuff.
That is the good stuff, but the burgers are less juicy. But maybe that's good. Maybe you don't like a juicy burger.
You know, actually, that's true because I made burgers out of that a couple weeks ago, and it was good. It wasn't as juicy. And then I went to a festival, and I got a gourmet burger, which is probably 80-20.
Okay.
And yeah, my pan was just filled with
that is what I think restaurants, I think they use the 80-20 because of the fat and the the juices.
Yeah.
I find a happy medium. I go with ground chuck, 85% lean. And but when I was a kid, man, I don't know where this was, but it was like you could buy less than 80-20. It was like 60-40 or something like that. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I always, even as a kid, I'm like, I'm steering clear of that. But I do like the ground chuck. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. In honor of National Hamburger Day, what are your favorite burger toppings? That is tonight's Nightlight question of the night. Let us know, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app, very easy to use. Hope you have it. If you don't, you should. And if you're watching on the stream, you can send your stream comment, too, through YouTube, Facebook. What else, Con?
Twix,
WGBW website. WISS website. There's all kinds of way to Nightlight. And if you're there, give us a like or a follow if you're so inclined. We always like a thumbs
definitely,
up.
Definitely, yeah.
We love a thumbs up. So I don't know. What are you going to do? You go first tonight. I'm going
to
hear you.
It comes down to what type of burger is my favorite. It's a mushroom Swiss.
Yeah,
I love sautéed mushrooms on it. But on top of that is still lettuce, tomato, some onions, and then you got to top it off with some mayo.
Yeah. You put mayo
on the
mushroom and Swiss? Is that the typical topping?
I don't think so, but I like, that's what I add to all my burgers is that. But if it's not a mushroom Swiss, all the same ones I said, those will be on my toppings. Yeah. I love mushrooms on it, though.
Here's what I'm working with. My favorite burger I've ever had is at a place called Superdog in Chicago. It's a drive-in. They're still there. They've been around for decades. And it's the car hop. You know, you hit the buzzer. They come out and they take your order. And they have something called a super cheesy. And they have that real green relish, great cheese, grilled onions. And I'm one of those guys. I know we have a text from our pal Rich Tallarico, who is not a fan of raw onions. But I like both. I sometimes I'm in the mood for raw. Sometimes I'm in the mood for grilled. But the super cheesy at Superdog is great. Dottie Dumplings Dowry has phenomenal hamburgers. And I think it was ranked number one in the state by our friends at Up North News. Christina Lori said they sell, 100,000 burgers a year? They only have like 19 tables at Dottie's and they sell 100,000 hamburgers a year. That's incredible. But they have a great combo too. I'm going to go jalapeno, bacon, blue cheese. And occasionally there's this kind of like New Orleans or Southern jam they put on this burger at a place called the Rail House in Marinette.
That's you turned me off with the blue cheese, but the other ingredients sound really good.
Well, I don't need the blue. I like the blue cheese, but I don't always get it. It just depends what. But I do like jalapenos on a burger.
That jam sounds amazing.
Oh, it's so good. It's just not right. All right, so there you go. Share with us, folks, your favorite toppings, if you would. We have a phone call, Conrad. We can get this in before the break, right?
Yeah,
all right.
Ollie from the Northwoods.
Ollie, how are you?
I am fine.
We got about 45 seconds. I'm just letting you know.
Oh, you need big hands for this one. you got to have a big burger, lettuce, tomato, onions, bacon, and extra pickles.
Oh, the pickles are nice. That's a great touch. And that's your favorite. Is that what you do all the time, Dottie?
This is Ollie, and that's what we get at Ollie's Burgers.
Awesome call. Thank you so much, Ollie. Have a great night. Eat a burger to celebrate.
It sounds good.
Bye-bye. All right, my friend. Thank you, Ali. All right, we're coming right back. We're going to read your texts. We got all kinds of stuff, folks. You are here on a great night. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a recent report from Georgia, we told you about voters contesting a mass voter eligibility challenge by election group True the Vote. In another 11th Circuit courtroom that same week, a group of black voters challenged the voting districts for Metro Atlanta. The Georgia Recorder reports that a judge ruled in 2021 that after the 2020 U.S. Census, the Georgia legislature failed to account for the growth of black voters in Metro Atlanta and needed to include additional majority-minority congressional, state house, and state senate districts. The current suit before a three-judge appeals panel contends that the court-ordered maps drawn by the legislature in 2023 may not have met the judge's requirements and instead kept the status quo. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger's brief contends that the Voting Rights Act Section 2 should no longer be in use. He argues that the plaintiffs must prove that the motivation for the maps was racial discrimination, not legal under the federal VRA, and not for partisan political reasons, which the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled is inherently a state issue. Anti-voter arguments citing the Equal Protection Clause and it was political, not racial gerrymandering, are increasing in an effort to neutralize VRA protections for minority voters. Expect an opinion in the case in the coming months. We have more on the long history of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Nightlight. This is Pete Schwabba, your host for this evening's festivities. What do you think about Ollie's burger? That was good.
It's I forgot
what
about
did I call
pickles.
Her? She corrected me.
Dottie's.
I was talking about Dottie Dumplings Dowry, so I called Ollie Dottie. Sorry, Ollie.
So pickles, I forgot. That's essential in a burger for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, pickles are great. Now you get pickles and everything. There's pickles in ketchup now, you know. They have pickle flavored ketchup. Yep. I don't need that. That's overkill.
What about fried pickles?
You know what? I tried fried pickles about 2 years ago, and I was surprised how much I liked them.
They're so good.
They are. On our social media, we've been posting the question of the night, folks, on social media, and we get some great responses there. Lisa Hale, host of New Wisco Weekend, which you can catch here at the Civic Media Radio Network Saturdays and Sundays. She does a great job hosting, by the way. And do you have a segment this weekend?
I do. It's about kayaking in Wisconsin.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Well, I do the classic movie pick of the week. I got a great movie pick in honor of June Dairy Month. It's dairy adjacent, the movie.
Yeah, I see it.
As I say, there aren't many great riveting films about milk or cheese. So I had to kind of pivot a little bit, but I always try to hit the theme when I can. But Lisa says, raw onion, one or two pickle. I don't know if that's a typo, but I love when people use singular when it should be plural. Like, as kind of a stylistic way to talk. And if you meant to do that, Lisa, I love that. Raw onion, one or two pickle. Oh, she's... Never mind. She said slices. Raw onion, one or two pickle slices only. She's very specific. Ketchup, mustard, lettuce, tomato. And if I'm feeling sassy, guacamole instead of ketchup.
That's, you know what I think ruins a burger? Sorry, Lisa, but mustard.
You know what I think ruins a burger? This will not, this will be a hot take and controversial. Ketchup.
Yeah. You know, I used to like ketchup growing up, like a lot. I don't even really use it anymore.
Yeah.
There's so much sugar in it anyways.
Right.
And without the sugar in it, it doesn't taste good.
Agreed.
So I went away from that and started using like a low-fat mayo or whatever.
Yeah, mayo's good. My wife bought this Whataburger sauce.
Oh, my.
That's pretty good. That's probably just mayo and ketchup. But I like the two burger places I talked about, Superdog in Chicago and Dottie Dumplings in Madison. My two favorite burgers don't have ketchup. They have like some hot peppers and some relish and grilled onions, good stuff. Rich Tellerico says, raw onion grilled should be banned. Hashtag enough.
Oh, wow. All right.
That's such a funny hill to die on. No grilled onions on burgers. I said before, I like them both. Just depends on my mood. Thank you, Rich. We should have Rich back on.
Oh, yeah.
Take a memo. You got memos over there?
I'm,
you're not still out of memos. I haven't given you a memo in months, dude.
I'm down to like, you know, 30 okay. Post-it notes.
We can send one. We can get Rich on there. Amanda Nimmer says, cheese, mayo, pickles, tomato. Okay. No ketchup. Notice
no
that.
Ketchup?
Melissa K, this has to be the text of the night.
Yes.
And I'm circling this. And Melissa gets the gold star for outrageous burger toppings. Peanut butter, pineapple, and cilantro with a dash of sriracha.
I wonder if she's actually serious about that or if that's a joke.
I could go cilantro and sriracha, but the pineapple and peanut butter, I think I'd vomit.
Violently. I've tried peanut butter on a burger. Not as bad as you think.
All right. Well, this is funny because Lisa Hale commented on that. And she said, Melissa, ew. What ingredient do you think she was ewing?
I don't know, all of them?
Not the one you think. Yeah, maybe. Cilantro. She says, cilantro? That's the devil. I'm the peanut butter is not getting close to my burger or the pineapple. I can live with cilantro. I like cilantro. Monica Hale says sauteed mushrooms, mustard, ketchup, lettuce, pickles, tomato. Ketchup and tomato. That's insanity. That's a lot of red. Thank you, Monica. Sarah Jean says extra pickles. The rest is optional as long as I get those pickles. I love that. That's fantastic. So we got some texts here on the text line as well. Jim from Brookfield says, hi, Pete. Just got home from the theater after Mission Impossible. When the driver's license scene came up, there was a noticeable reaction from the audience. I heard a couple of cools. That's Jim from Brookfield. Yeah, it was kind of fun. Such a weird thing, but it was still kind of exciting to see that. Conrad's mom checks in. My favorite toppings are fried onions, mushrooms, pickle relish, and cheese. I always remember that about your mom, that you guys both like the mushroom burger.
Yes.
Conrad's dad says, trivia question tonight. Name this iconic burger. Two all beef patty special sauce. Conrad, I'm looking away. You see, I'm not looking at the text.
Yeah.
I can say this. Two all beef patty special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. That is the Big Mac, Steve. Best burger song of all time. All right. Thank you, buddy. Barb from Waukesha says, the Elvis burger is delicious. It sounds disgusting, but I love the sweetness of the peanut butter.
So I looked at the picture, and it says the Elvis burger is topped off with fried bananas, peanut butter, and bacon in honor of the late Elvis.
You know, with that combination, you know what ruins that? The meat.
Just right?
Put the cheese and bacon and, well, I guess bacon's meat, but I don't think you need the burger there.
You know, I'd be curious to try it. I'd try it just to say I tried it.
Yeah, I would too. That's fine. That's great. Great text, folks. Keep them coming. That's our question of the night. It's National Hamburger Day, ladies and gentlemen. What are your favorite burger toppings? There are no right or wrong answers. There are only your answers. And we've got, but Melissa, okay, Melissa's got the text of the night. Peanut butter, pineapple, and cilantro with a dash of sriracha. Hot diggity dog. All right, so we'll keep reading your text as the show progresses. Have you heard this commercial for Quick Trip yet?
What?
Taco to go. Taco to go.
I have not heard that.
80 times in 30 seconds. It needs to stop. I cannot. It's just the worst commercial. Even you. Let's be honest. Quick Trip has no bigger fan than Conrad Krieger.
That's
accurate.
Cool.
Yeah. You'll hate it. You'll hate the commercial. Like the establishment, hate the commercial. Dave on the stream says, peanut butter and bacon is great. Try it. I will not be peer pressured, folks. I'm just going to tell you that right now. All right, we'll finish some more text when we come back. Coming up next, folks, Matt Miller. We're going to talk Mission Impossible, the box office, and all things entertainment. That's next on Nightlight after the news. It's Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Health Services have announced the finalization of a new regulation aimed at protecting kids from lead poisoning. According to a press release, the agency has lowered the threshold for lead poisoning from 5 micrograms per deciliter to 3.5 micrograms per deciliter. That threshold change will allow more families to access educational and health resources to address lead poisoning. DHS officials estimate that about 1,400 more kids will now qualify for environmental intervention services. As Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and Republicans in the legislature continue to grapple over the next biennial budget, a measure to increase fishing and hunting license fees has so far survived negotiations. Republican lawmakers have already removed hundreds of items from the governor's proposed budget, but left the increased license fee measure in. Officials say the increase would provide over $30 million each year in additional revenue, which would help prevent the Department of Natural Resources from operating with a deficit next year. A new community health center in Stone Lake is finally set to open in the next couple of weeks. The La Couturier Band will celebrate the official grand opening of the community health center on June 13th. The 59,000-square-foot facility is located on Highway K south of the Seven Winds Casino. Officials say the full project cost about $42 million and will employ about 120 healthcare providers. They also say the facility has technically been open for a few weeks already, offering medical, dental, and pharmaceutical services since April. The 61st annual Aquafest is set to get underway in Rice Lake this weekend. The event will feature 10 days of family fun, including the return of the carnival, live music, and plenty of kid-friendly events. The carnival will run from Thursday night through Sunday afternoon on Lakeshore Drive, and the concerts will be held from June 5th to June 7th. This year, the concert stage will be set up in the Chamber of Commerce parking lot after the Aquafest committee failed to reach an agreement to use the usual location at the former Birchwood manufacturing site. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Billie Eilish had an outstanding Memorial Day weekend. She took home an award for every category she was nominated in at the American Music Awards Sunday night, thanks to her album, Hit Me Hard and Soft. Eilish was nominated 7 times, including for Artist of the Year, Album of the Year, Favorite Touring Artist, Favorite Female Pop Artist, and Favorite Pop Album. She also won for Song of the Year and Favorite Pop Song. Beyonce brought home 2 awards for Favorite Female Country Artist, and her somehow controversial album, Cowboy Carter, notched her a Favorite Country Album trophy. Post Malone also now has his first country music award after winning Favorite Male Country Artist. Eminem took home 2 awards for Favorite Male Hip Hop Artist and Favorite Hip Hop Album for The Death of Slim Shady. Gracie Abrams won Best New Artist, and Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars won Best Video Collaboration. Mars also won Favorite Pop Musical Artist of the Year. I was shout out again. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated showers this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy tonight, and a low in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, partly sunny, maybe a pop-up storm and highs in the mid-70s. Heating up into the 80s for Friday and this weekend. Lots of sunshine and it stays dry. Currently at 64 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had 4 meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top 3 things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin, Sarah Rodriguez, joins us to talk about the state budget going through joint finance and another compelling edition of What's Worse. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
I'm Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night that feels like a Tuesday. No, it feels like it actually feels like a Thursday. I don't know. Who cares? PJ on the stream. A lot of people coming out in defense of peanut butter. What is going on in this country? I know we're polarized, but peanut butter on a burger. PJ says crunchy peanut butter all the way. Now he's adding nuts to the equation. PJ says, oh, mushroom Swiss, yummy.
Yep.
And then again, AJ Bombers turned me on to the peanut butter on a burger. AJ Bombers, where is it? PJ, where is that? Tell us where that is.
Actually, there's one in Milwaukee.
Okay.
And I remember they make boozy milkshakes.
Oh, they put liquor in the milkshake?
And that was one of the worst gut rots I've ever had in my life.
Why? Why do we have to put booze? I mean, something
it was
be
good.
Safe.
It was good.
Yeah. All right. But it gave you gut rot. I still say Superdog in Chicago, Dottie Dumplings. But, well, that's Matt. Matt Miller's about to join us, folks. He is a Milwaukee film critic, and you can follow him at A Man About Film on Blue Sky. I think Matt's still on Facebook, too, but he does great work there. Check him out, and he has his finger on the pulse of movies and Milwaukee and all things entertainment, and he joins us now on the phone. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing swell. I'm putting up with the fact that the Indiana Pacers are probably going to the NBA Finals. but, you know, I'm sitting with it. I'm dealing with it.
Isn't that funny when your team, like, you know, I'm a lifelong Bulls fan, and the Pacers were their nemesis. And even when the Bulls were done with their runs, I still wanted the Pacers to lose. Is that what you're dealing with here? Just some kind of someone to cheer against?
I think what's frustrating to me is that I love the underdog. I love rooting for small market teams, and the Pacers should be a team that I'm in love with. They play the game in a fun, energetic, the right way. They are a team that was created not around a superstar or a lot of money, but just very smart decisions and drafting. And I hate them. I just think they're so chirpy. They're so undeservedly chirpy, and for nothing. But now they're going to go to the finals and perhaps win because, you know, they've got luck on their side. They've managed to come back in like three games when they're down 20. So I don't know. I'm dealing with it. I'm emotionally processing it. This is why therapists exist.
I think you're going to be fine. Matt, do you
this
have
is the biggest issue that I have to deal with on a couch, you know?
Exactly. Do you have a favorite burger topping, Matt? A lot of people tonight, our question tonight is favorite burger toppings. It's National Hamburger Day, and people are coming out in droves saying peanut butter on a burger. It scares me.
Yeah, that sounds like the Hawaiian pizza to me, where I'm like, that sounds like a bad idea. And maybe it's delicious, but I just can't get past the mental idea of it.
Right.
I like onion strings on a burger.
Oh yeah. Nice.
Like a kind of like a Western barbecue burger situation. That's if a menu has that on it, I'm almost guaranteed to order it.
Very well said. Well done. Where's a great burger place in Milwaukee, or one that your burger place of choice?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I don't know if I have a burger place that I love. I do like Merriment Social a lot in Milwaukee.
Okay.
I think they kind of have an underrated burger. That's probably my pick for like the best burger. I know a lot of people go to bat for the Diplomat. I think they have a really good kind of like fancy burger that, you know, isn't too fancy.
Okay.
So yeah, I'd probably say those are the two I'm most intrigued by.
I have not heard of either one. I'll have to check them out. Thank you. Let's jump right in, Matt. I've been excited to talk to you about this for a while now. I've been talking about Mission Impossible ad nauseum. I couldn't wait to see the final. I have finally come to the grips recently that I just love Tom Cruise. Weirdness, whatever he's done in the past, the guy delivers. He's a phenomenon. He's a spectacle. And I was very excited for Mission Impossible. What did you think?
I like half of this movie quite a bit.
Okay.
I think for the first half, it's a real eat your veggies experience where it's so much exposition and so many flashbacks and so many plot cul-de-sacs that either go unresolved or don't really add up to anything or just go in a circle. And for the first half of the Mission Impossible movie, it's not a good movie. There's also not an action scene really in the first half of the Final Reckoning. You're waiting for the movie to get some momentum, and it just kind of gets stuck in the mud. And then the back end of the movie happens. He visits the submarine with the guy from Severance, and from that point on, the movie is incredible. There's two incredible set pieces in the end, but yeah, it's got a great main course and dessert, but if you can get through the very flavorless appetizer course that takes about an hour and a half to get through, you get a really good blockbuster.
Matt, he's exaggerating, folks. I agree with you. And my biggest problem with the film, but I've come to grips with it, like, is that recap. And like the opening credits don't start to like 30 minutes in. But I feel like a lot of people are going to see that film that either haven't seen the other ones or can't remember. Like when there's a franchise with 8 films or the Star Wars, I can't remember what character is from what movie or what scene happened. And I kind of am cutting them slack. Like, not that they had to do it. They could have not talked down to people, but like you, I lived through it. But I agree. If I have one criticism of the movie, it's that first, the recap or the whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. And I wonder how much of that first half kind of flashback / slog is, you know, the last movie, Dead Reckoning, did not do as well as they hoped. It was not a successful movie. It made a decent amount of money, but it didn't make anywhere near as much as it needed to. And I think there was a concern and a fear with either the producers of the movie, like either the studio, Paramount, or with, you know, Christopher McQuarrie and Tom Cruise, that, you know, if this is the final Mission Impossible movie, or at least the final Mission Impossible of this Tom Cruise era, you know, we want to make sure everybody's on board. And they kind of overcorrected, I feel like. I mean, you see so many flashbacks, and there's a lot of legacy sequel tie-in stuff that I don't really think adds much to the movie. Mission Impossible 3 weirdly plays a significant role. There's a tie-in with the original movie with the John Voight character that does not work whatsoever. And that stuff just kind of hangs on the movie and sags on the movie in a way that, you know, Mission Impossible, the signature image of the franchise, is Tom Cruise running. It's about momentum. It's about exciting, fun spy stuff. And it's so weird that for their final movie, they're like, we have to take 90 minutes of this 3-hour long movie to recap plot.
That's interesting. I agree with you there too. Like the John Voight character and tying that to the Shea Whigham, like, totally unnecessary. And maybe they touched on that in 7 and I forgot about it, but very extraneous. I don't think you needed that, but you know, overall I would say I liked it, but you know, the critics weren't, I thought this was going to be a slam dunk kind of homage to Tom Cruise, because I feel like the critics don't really hammer movies anymore like they used to. So for this to get So for this to get what it got, I was like, geez, this is the film. And not that it wasn't a bad, I think it got an 80, but you know, it's just magnificent what they are able to put on screen and what they do. And for that, I tip my hat to them. But I totally agree with a lot of what you're saying.
Agreed. And I think it's very, it's smart on one level that, you know, it ends with its best stuff. Those final two big pieces, one on a submarine and obviously the big biplane stunt sequence, they're incredible. They are some of the best set pieces you will see in a Hollywood picture this year and maybe most years. It's just kind of a shame that it takes that. It's a really tough sit to get to that point. And I will say I'm kind of, it's weird how sloppy the first half feels too, in terms of plotting and in terms of the edit of the movie. Mm. There's moments in the first half that feel like they should really hit, they should be really big crowd pleasing moments. The unmasking that happens in the first act of the movie feels like that should be a triumphant moment, and it kind of just happens. And a key character passes away in the first half of the movie,
right.
And it's kind of cinnamon rolled and twisted inside of all of these weird plot mechanics that end up making your brain more confused than invested in the moment. And it's just kind of a shame. And I wonder how much of that stuff is COVID. They filmed a lot of this movie during COVID. That's why the budget of this movie is ridiculous. They had several shutdowns because of COVID. They paid their cast and crew during those shutdowns, which was the right thing to do, but means that the movie needs to make $1 billion worldwide to break even. And I think it also results in some really weird, writing situations where characters are sick and secluded for reasons that you're not really sure why. And I think it's probably because they had to deal with COVID protocols.
My guest is Matt Miller. You can follow him at A Man About Film. He has a great Substack there. He's a Milwaukee film critic, and we are talking about the weekend box office in Mission Impossible. Yeah, that's a great point, Matt. And I think, too, they shot this when they shot 7, right? Dead Reckoning? Like, weren't they shot at the same time, more or less?
They pretty much were shot back-to-back, I'm pretty sure. Because this was supposed to come out a lot sooner. I think both of these Mission Impossible movies, I think, were supposed to come out a year or two before now. And so we're getting them well after they were filmed.
That's interesting. That could, explain some of the choppiness, but you'd think like two films, one doesn't need to be 3 hours. Like if you can't tell the story and, if you can't do two-hour films, it might be overkill,
Yeah. And I've talked with two friends about this movie, and every time we talk about the movie, we've come up with ways to shorten the beginning of the film, ways to get rid of excess characters, ways to tighten that first act. And we're not screenwriters by any regard. And Christopher McQuarrie is one of the best screenwriters in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And the fact that we're able to look at that script and be like, there are obvious nips and tucks to be made here, feels like something got kind of screwed up in the production a little bit, in terms of there was a lot they were having to juggle. And again, I can't blame them. They were trying to film in unprecedented situations, and they were doing the right things.
Absolutely.
It just kind of bleeds into the film.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like, I don't know. Do you think there'll be another one, Matt?
At some point.
Yeah.
100% at some point, a new Mission Impossible will come out. I doubt it will be a Tom Cruise-led Mission Impossible. I think he is done with the Ethan Hunt character. I think he knows there's not really much else he can do on a stunt standpoint that would really impress people.
Right.
I wonder if this is a place where, Tom Cruise has a real liking for people like Glenn Powell and obviously Greg Tarzan Davis, who plays a character in this movie. And, they tried to hand the franchise over to Jeremy Renner 15 years ago.
Right.
And the movie was so good with Tom Cruise that they had to eject on that plan. But there's definitely a few. I cannot imagine this is the last Mission Impossible movie. As a matter of fact, I am almost guaranteeing that we will get 15 years down the line some sort of legacy sequel where an old man Tom Cruise is, passing the baton off to maybe Glenn Powell or something like that.
Right.
But as of right now, I think they are very content to let this franchise sit for a moment and let Tom Cruise take a well-deserved victory lap on this incredible franchise.
Absolutely. Matt Miller's here. We're going to do a very short break. We'll come back and talk about a record-breaking weekend at the box office. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Summers in Worthington, Minnesota bring fun, and a good portion of that fun happens around our beautiful 800-acre Lake Okabena. Our community is built around it, and it has great walleye fishing and several lakeside parks. This June 13th and 14th, we'll have our Windsurfing Regatta and Music Festival. It's free. Come and see the windsurfers, eat from over a dozen food vendors, and attend free lakeside concerts on our professional city stage, this year featuring Viva Knievel and Cooper Allen. Check us out. We're Worthington, Minnesota, and we're certainly worth a look.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a recent report from Georgia, we told you about voters contesting a mass voter eligibility challenge by election group True the Vote. In another 11th Circuit courtroom that same week, a group of black voters challenged the voting districts for Metro Atlanta. The Georgia Recorder reports that a judge ruled in 2021 that after the 2020 U.S. Census, the Georgia legislature failed to account for the growth of black voters in Metro Atlanta and needed to include additional majority-minority congressional, state house, and state senate districts. The current suit before a three-judge appeals panel contends that the court-ordered maps drawn by the legislature in 2023 may not have met the judge's requirements and instead kept the status quo. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger's brief contends that the Voting Rights Act Section 2 should no longer be in use. He argues that the plaintiffs must prove that the motivation for the maps was racial discrimination, not legal under the federal VRA, and not for partisan political reasons, which the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled is inherently a state issue. Anti-voter arguments citing the Equal Protection Clause and it was political, not racial gerrymandering, are increasing in an effort to neutralize VRA protections for minority voters. Expect an opinion in the case in the coming months. We have more on the long history of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota,
the fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa, to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe. Welcome back. It is a Wednesday night. We are broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay on a rainy night, but it's still beautiful. You know why? Because we're talking about movies and TV and comedy and music and all the things we love and that make life great. And part of, we're getting a little help tonight too from a very good friend of ours, Mr. Matt Miller, who is a Milwaukee-based film critic. And Matt, you got home safely. You're on the stream. We can see each other now. It's a real conversation. Awesome.
This is much better.
So, all right. I'm trying to like, okay. So last weekend was record-setting. I think I read something that said the last time all the films in one weekend made that much money was 2013. It made like $314 million. The films this past weekend made like $346 or $341. Is the box office back? And why is that? Is that because of the pandemic? We're finally starting to come out of that and the strikes? Or what do you attribute that to?
You know, it's funny because just a month or two ago, everyone was having panic attacks.
Yeah.
The box office was doing really bad to start the year. And now we've had a very strong past 2 months between a Minecraft movie and Sinners obviously becoming this massive hit. Weirdly enough, the Marvel movies have not done that well. They've done fine enough, but they've flopped by Marvel movie standards. You had Final Destination becoming a gigantic smash hit. And obviously, this past weekend, you had Lilo Stitch and Mission Impossible both performing really well. And I think part of it is people like going to the movies. You know, people like seeing a movie on a big screen. They like to get out of the house. They want to see something in a special way. That's part of it. A part of it, too, is Hollywood starting to make, and I know it's funny, in a weekend where one of the movies is a remake and one of the movies is a sequel, the eighth movie in a franchise, but they're starting to dabble in different areas. They're starting to try new things again. You've got stuff like Minecraft and Sinners. Minecraft, a movie that is directed to a younger generation and not a retread. It's not, right. You know, it's not a hand-me-down franchise. It is something that speaks to younger kids. Lilo and Stitch, yes, it's another live-action Disney remake, but it is nostalgia for a new generation. It's nostalgia for my generation and the Gen X and Gen Z generation, the millennial generation. They're starting to realize that, you know, 80s nostalgia and kind of, you know, the old standbys, culture has changed a little bit. And I do think there's a turn back against the slopification of Hollywood, the idea of these movies that exist just because stakeholders at the studio say they must exist. Hmm. You know, Sinners is doing well because it's a really good movie and because it feels like something a director really wanted to make.
Yeah.
It had passion behind it. A lot of the reason I've talked about this, Barbenheimer, directed by, you know, a bunch of nobodies, isn't a phenomenon. Oppenheimer, directed by Christopher Nolan and Greta Gerwig, two auteurs who really wanted to do something and say something with these topics, those are hits.
So I
think we're in this era now where people, you know, a lot of, you know, name brand movies will still do well. I'm sure Superman will do well and Fantastic Four and Jurassic World will do well. But there is a craving for new things, for things that feel unique and different and feel like something we haven't seen before. And again, I know that's very silly to say in a weekend where Lilo and Stitch Take Two made, you know, $150 million in America, but at least that is a new sense of nostalgia on some level. That is a new generation. We're not just retreading the 70s and 80s one more time.
It's crazy that, and to your point about going to the theater, you know, one of the complaints, going back to Mission Impossible, my dad had when we left, we went with a huge group on Sunday. He said that plane scene went on too long and so did the water. He loved it, but he said those should have been cut. I'm like, Dad, that is why people go. They're a little full of themselves.
That's a wild opinion. I'm sorry. To come out of Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, and be like, the set pieces have to go is wild.
Not to go, but to shorten them. And I'm like, first of all, as a filmmaker with a ton of juice, that you can stand up and say, no, we're not cutting that down or we're not editing that because I have the power to keep it and we're keeping it. And they're in love with what they did because they should be, because it was unbelievable. That is why you see those movies on a big screen. So I don't disagree that it could have been a few minutes shorter, but I'm fine with it the way they did it. It was so much fun.
That's not the part I'd be cutting. That's not the part. I'd be taking the scissors to.
cut the first part out like we talked about. So Hollywood is, I read this yesterday, I think it was in Variety, anticipating a $4.2 billion summer. That was the other reason I wanted to ask you, is the box office back or are they back? The movies are really good. Like you said, you've got Sinners by Ryan Coogler, a guy who had the power to get the movie made that he wanted to get made, and it was in wide release. You know, most of those are franchise films or Marvel. Or a director like Christopher Nolan has the power to get them made. I wish there were more of those guys, those auteurs, like you say.
Yeah, right now, the last time the box office grossed over $10 billion in America was 2019. We haven't grossed that much since then. This year is really steadily going in the right direction, and it's moving right. I don't know if we'll ever get to those kind of insane highs from the 2010s. Just because, like, streaming was still kind of, you know, not entirely in the mix back then. There is still a crowd of people that doesn't go to the movies as much as they used to. Frankly, it's a lot of older audiences. I know a lot of people like to blame young people for, you know, being on TikTok and being on YouTube and Twitch and, you know, all those things. But older audiences, if you look at the movies that don't perform the same way, it's older audiences that aren't showing up in the same numbers anymore. Those kind of the movies for adults that used to help buoy when a big blockbuster didn't do well, that they're not, that people aren't showing up for them anymore. And part of it is, you know, streaming is here now. But part of it is Hollywood stopped making those movies and trained older audiences out of going to the theaters.
Let's pick up there, Matt. We got to do intermission here, but we'll be back. We'll have Matt for a few more minutes after the news. It's Peach Wabbit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Desperation in Gaza, crowd storming a UN warehouse for food aid. Four people reportedly dying in the crush. At the UN today, Palestinian Ambassador Riyad Mansour breaking down about the children on the brink of starvation.
Excuse me, Mr. President. I have grandchildren. I know what they mean to their families. And to see the situation of the Palestinians without us having hearts to do something is beyond the ability of any normal human being to tolerate.
This is Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that Israeli forces killed Hamas leader Mohammed Sinwar. Reality stars Todd and Julie Chrisley being released today from prison after a pardon from President Trump. They're doing time for tax cheating and bank fraud. The New York-based Court of International Trade ruling that President Trump's global tariffs exceed any authority granted to the president. This is ABC News.